Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I want to welcome you to The Road to Emmaus, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
What is the answer to hotly debated questions on religious liberty, justice, and peace? Scott Hahn and Brandon McGinley offer eternal answers to today's political confusion in their new book, It Is Right and Just. Pre-order your copy today and learn more in our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road.
Welcome back. I'm Scott Hahn, founder and president of the St. Paul Center, and we're going to spend some time in sacred scripture. Today, I'd like to look at the Blessed Virgin Mary and apply what we have been discussing about the relationship between the Old and the New Testament. As St. Augustine said, the new is concealed in the old, and the old is revealed and fulfilled in the new. How does that work, especially with regard to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Because if I had any one problem with the Catholic faith, when I was an evangelical, Bible-believing Christian, it was Mary. She seemed quite contrary to everything I found in the Bible. When I would ask my Catholic friends, show me a text that proves her Immaculate Conception. Show me a text that demonstrates her bodily assumption. Of course, they didn't know the Bible well enough. They couldn't show me a text. What I had to learn the hard way was, you know, whenever you go into the Bible, looking for a proof text, that is, taking a text out of context and using it as a proof text. As one of my professors said, that is a pretext. So what do? You read the Bible in context. Well, what is the context? The whole Bible. Well, what is the whole Bible? The old and the new. So how do we discover the truth about Jesus? We spent another episode looking at how Jesus is deliberately presented by the four evangelists as a new Moses who brings about a new Exodus with a new covenant and the new law of the new covenant. But what I didn't realize, even when I was reading the early church fathers and discovering the riches of scripture, was that this applies also to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that this is why you don't go looking for a proof text and wrenching it out of context and using it as a kind of pretext. No, what you do is you read the Bible in context and you discover that Jesus was foreshadowed back in the beginning. And what you'll see in John 1 and 2 on a later episode is how John deliberately presents Jesus as a new Adam. And then by the time you get to John chapter 2, you'll see that the Blessed Virgin Mary is presented as a new Eve. So just as in the beginning, there wasn't just one man, there was a man and a woman, and they were the married couple that gave us the old covenant. So there's a new Adam and a new Eve who usher in a new covenant that is a kind of mystical marriage unlike anything else we'd ever seen in history before. But what I'd like to look at now is the Exodus as the main event that God did through a man named Moses by the power of the Holy Spirit. But just as God didn't do it through Adam alone, so God didn't do it through Moses alone. There were other humans, but there was also something else that wasn't a human person that was the proof of God's real presence in the midst of his people. And what was that? The Ark of the Covenant. And what was the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it's the climax of the book of Exodus. The final chapter, Exodus 40, shows us how the glory of God came down upon the tabernacle and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant. And then, of course, when Israel followed the Lord through the wilderness, it was always the Ark of the Covenant that led the way. Even after Moses died and Joshua took over, it was the Ark of the Covenant that Joshua had brought down to the bank of the River Jordan. And then what happened? The River Jordan did for Joshua what the Red Sea had done for Moses. The Ark of the Covenant was the proof of God's presence, his real presence in the midst of Israel. And when they tackled Jericho, the first major stronghold that stood in the way of them taking their ancestral inheritance, how did they do it? The Air Force, then the artillery, then the infantry? No, it was the Levites carrying, you got it, the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark of the Covenant was the proof that the battle is the Lord's. And so the victory will be achieved not by physical weapons, but by spiritual warfare. And so often it was the Ark of the Covenant that was remembered or not. Because when it was forgotten by these proud Israelites, they were often defeated and humiliated. And so the conquest of the promised land that should have taken maybe a generation or two at the most, took centuries. And when it was finally finished, it was finished by a man after God's own heart. And who is that? King David. And how did he do it? By rediscovering the Ark of the Covenant, which had gone missing. We read all about it in 2 Samuel 6. And I began to discover certain parallels between the account of the Ark of the Covenant as discovered by David in 2 Samuel 6 and Luke's description of the birth of Jesus from the Virgin Mary in the Gospel of Luke chapters 1 and 2. Let me just share a few, maybe a half a dozen of these parallels, because this is what led me to discover that it was actually the evangelist's intention for us to see that the Blessed Virgin Mary is none other than the Ark of the New Covenant, the proof of God's presence here in our midst. The first significant parallel that I noticed is that in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we read about how the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. We've all heard that before, but having studied Greek, I recognize that that word for overshadow, episkiadzein, is scarcely used in the Old Testament and even more rare in the New. But where you find it is highly significant, because in Exodus 40, at the climax of the book, what do you see? God's glory coming down upon the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of God, overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Old Covenant. And why? Because that was the sign of God's real presence in the midst of his people. Well, why? Well, it was made of acacia wood for permanence and durability, but it was covered with gold, kind of symbolizing how Mary's humanity is strong, but she's overlaid with the divinity of her son, her creator. You also see that inside the ark was what? The word of God in stone. The Ten Commandments were stored inside of there. And within the Blessed Virgin Mary, what do you have? The word not in stone, but the word made flesh. You also have the manna contained in the Ark of the Old Covenant. And what do you have in the sacred womb of the Blessed Virgin? The new manna. Jesus describes himself in John 6 as the true bread of life, as the true and the new manna. So if it was true in the old, it's not less true in the new, it's even more. And so in Luke 1:35, the Spirit of God is overshadowing the Blessed Virgin Mary in a way that Luke wants us to take notice of. Because that implies what? She's kind of like the Ark of the Covenant, but not less, more. And as you continue reading in Luke 1, verse 39, you hear about how Mary arose and went into the Judean hill country. You go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and where did David go to find the Ark of the Covenant, which had gone missing for so long? He went to the Judean hill country, the same exact region outside of Jerusalem where the Blessed Virgin Mary found her kinswoman, Elizabeth. So geographically, it's the same locale. As you continue reading, in Luke 1:43, you hear upon Mary's arrival, Elizabeth is filled with such a sense of awe that she says, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" When David finds the Ark of the Covenant in the Judean hill country, what does he say? He basically says, "Who am I that the Ark of the Lord should come to me?"
Whoa.
And then again, you find in Luke 1, verse 45, Elizabeth pronounces a blessing upon the Blessed Virgin, just like David pronounces a blessing upon the Lord for having led him to the Ark of the Covenant. You also see in Luke 1, 44 and 45, that the joyful response of Elizabeth is matched by John the Baptist, who does what? He leaps for joy in utero. You go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and what does David do after blessing the Lord, having found the Ark of the Covenant, which had been missing for so long? Here in the Judean hill country, he begins leaping and dancing for joy as he leads the people of God in song. The Blessed Virgin Mary responds to God's grace with song, just like David does with his musical song and dance. And the thing that really clinched it for me was, how long is the Ark of the Covenant there in the Judean hill country? It's there for exactly 3 months. How long was the Blessed Virgin Mary with Elizabeth, her kinswoman, there in the Judean hill country? For 3 months. I mean, it's down to the nitty-gritty, down to the details. Luke is sort of nodding at us and winking, saying, I hope you're picking up on the fact that you have a new Exodus, you have a new covenant, you have a new Moses. But guess what? You also have the Ark of the New Covenant. Later on, perhaps, I will take you on another trip into the book of Revelation, where we see at the end of chapter 11, something that hadn't been seen for centuries. And what is it? John, the visionary, describes how the Ark of the Covenant is spotted up in the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, so what? Well, I'll explain this a little more later on. But you remember that the Ark of the Covenant had gone missing for centuries. And it wasn't found until, well, Harrison Ford found it in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Not exactly. It's never been found. But what John is describing in Revelation is what Luke is describing in chapters 1 and 2. And that's not the Ark of the Old Covenant, but the Ark of the New Covenant. Because stay tuned, the next thing that John goes on to describe after having announced that he saw the Ark of the Covenant is a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, crowned with 12 stars, giving birth to the Messiah, just as she does in Luke 1 and 2. So thank you for joining me for this little study of how typology is applied to the Bible, how the new is concealed in the old, and how the old is revealed and fulfilled in the new, and how the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant, the sign of God's real presence back in the first century. And guess what? In the 21st century, every bit as much, then and there, and here and now, in your life and in mine. So go to her and ask her to prove her motherly love, because through the power of the Spirit, she wishes to overshadow each and every one of us. God bless you.
The Road to Emmaus podcast is a production of the St. Paul Center. To learn more about this episode, visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road. Our production team includes producer and director Beckett Gitto, associate producer Molly Trainer, audio engineer and editor Joseph Palmer. Our host is Dr. Scott Hahn. Subscribe and rate The Road to Emmaus wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-changing encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, visit stpaulcenter.com.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.